Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews chapter number 11, and we are almost finished. We're looking at this chapter as the Hall of Faith chapter, and we're looking at each of these individually and seeing the faith that was displayed and what that means to us, how we can display the same type of faith, but specifically the enemies that will play against our faith. And so that's really what I want us to see. Any sports team, any army, any of these that will fight an opponent, they do best when they understand their enemy, when they understand the tactics of their enemy. And so that's really why I want us to look at that this morning, because we have an enemy we know very clearly, which is Satan. And he is going to fight against us for faith. But I want us to see, go if you would, one verse, verse number 31. As I say, we're almost finished here. In fact, next Sunday, we will conclude. All of the rest of these verses will fall underneath of the category of one area of faith. But we're going to read verse number 31. And in Hebrews 11, verse 31, the Bible says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." Let me read it again. "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." This morning, I want us to see faith for safety. Faith for safety. And we're going to look at the life of Rahab. We're going to branch off from that. But I want us to see the safety that God gave to her and what we can see how God gives us safety as well. I want you to listen this morning, but as we look at faith for safety. Brother, would you lead in a word of prayer for us, please?
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for being here, Lord, to worship you. And Father God, I'm grateful for the times when I had stepped out in faith and trusted you. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you'd show me your hand. And Father, that's true with anyone who steps out in faith. But Father, I'm afraid that all too often, Lord, we trust in ourselves and we turn to you last. Father God, I ask you to be with us, Lord, strengthen us. Help us to understand, Lord, faith is believing that you will take care of us. Faith is knowing, Lord, when we do the right thing, no matter what the circumstances are, Lord, that you'll support us, you'll provide. Be with us now and guide us, Lord, throughout this lesson this morning and about this service, this preaching. And God, I pray you be with us to help us to be a witness to this lost and dying world. In Christ's name and for his sake, amen.
I want you to think with me about this particular verse here. It's an interesting verse to be put in the midst of the Hall of Faith if you think about the individual. We look at faith for safety, and we understand that the Word of God teaches that no matter how prepared we are, safety is of the Lord. I think back to Proverbs 21, verse number 31. The Bible says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." And from that we understand, it doesn't matter how prepared you are, the army could be all ready, the horse is saddled up, the soldier ready for battle, but safety is of the Lord. It comes from God. And again, this particular verse is an interesting verse because of the nature of the individual that is spoken about. It talks about a lady named Rahab. Now before we get to thinking about the lady, I want us to think more about the safety that we have. We are the most safe when we trust God. And that goes without saying. And I hope that you understand that. And this morning, perhaps you say, well, I don't necessarily feel the safest in my life. Well, we live in a time frame. I believe, in fact, just this morning, as I was listening to an account of a shooting that had gone on, I believe it was yesterday, last night, and they were asking one of the residents of this particular town, a town that was not prone to violence, and they said, "Do you feel safe anymore? Do you feel safe in this town?" And the man hesitated and said, not really. I don't know that I necessarily feel that safe anymore. And I can understand somewhat, I guess, from the point that he's making, when my family and I moved here, from California. And I know what all the Southerners think about California. And it's not all like that, I promise you. We came from a real slow, town named Sacramento, and it's the state capital, but it's a real slow town. It's not San Francisco. It's not Los Angeles. It's a cow town. And we moved from Sacramento, California, out to the wonderful Charleston, South Carolina. And I thought, oh man, I remember I was warned, oh, the culture shock is going to be, what's that, brother?
Preach it.
Charleston with its high humidity and its high bug count and the trees that you could not number. Oh, but listen now. I don't know that I've lived in an area that has more violence than the city in which I live now, which is amazing to say, about a city that has many times been voted one of the friendliest cities in our nation, one of the most sought after destinations in our country, but yet the violence. And so you would say, "Well, Pastor, do you feel safe?" I would have to say, absolutely, I feel safe because my safety isn't from the police officers. And I thank the Lord for the police officers. But my safety doesn't come from them. My safety doesn't come from the laws that should be kept. And I'm thankful for the laws of our land. But my safety comes from God. That's where our safety comes. You see, we're the most safe when we trust the Lord. In fact, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." This past Friday, every Friday, I speak about the college, of course, where my daughter's at, and the radio station that the church has, KNVBC. I've spoken about it before a little bit. And every Friday, Dr. Treber, he has a live broadcast. I've gone down with him down in the basement area of their church building underneath of the choir loft. They have a choir practice room, and off to the side, they've got just a real small little room, and they broadcast an internet radio station. There are others around the country. I'm partial, I guess I could say, to this one because my daughter now is a member of that church. And so the broadcast goes out every Friday. And on this particular Friday, the broadcast, they were asking, what are your favorite Bible verses? Maybe you have a life verse. And every now and then I'll send a message in and it comes up on their board, and one of the men or Brother Treber or whatever, he'll read it and they'll say, "Oh, Brother Sears over here, and I sent my life verse, 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." But it was amazing because they'll play a couple songs and they'll say, "Well, we got this from such and such individual, and another verse from this individual in this particular area." All across the world, there are missionaries in Russia. There are missionaries all over the world, and people that send in, because it's an internet-based radio. It's not, you don't have to have your radio tuned to it. It's internet. And so we get all these different people from all over the world. And the verse that came up the most was Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Oh, there were so many that said, "That's my favorite verse." Because it's a wonderful verse that we can put our trust in. We're most safe when we trust God. We're most safe when we get out of the way. In Proverbs 27 and verse 12, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." And we understand from that the prudent man, the individual who is wise with the wisdom of God, the counsel of God, is going to look beyond the day that they're living. They're going to look beyond the year that they're in, and they're going to see the path that they're on, and they're going to realize that if I stay on this particular path, I will be punished. But I'm going to hide myself. I'm going to hide myself in the cleft of the rock. I'm going to hide myself under the wing of an almighty God. I'm going to be safe when I follow God, when I follow His principles. When we begin to overlook the one who gives us our safety, we put ourselves in danger. When we heed the counsel of His word, we can trust Him for our safety. I read there out of Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, verses 21 down through 24. Say, my son, let them, that's talking about the wisdom, this is talking about the precepts of God. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely. And thou shalt find, thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Oh, we went over, I mentioned a moment ago about the study that we're having in Proverbs. Oh, we looked at those verses when we were in Proverbs 3. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to put your head on a pillow at night and your heart be right with God and know that you can have sweet, sweet sleep. Some of you may say, well, I haven't had very good sleep recently. A little over a year ago, I was going through a time, I had a pinched nerve on my neck, and my arm would just radiate with just not really severe pain, but just aching 24 hours a day, and I couldn't sleep, and I would get up and I would go to the back room, and I'd lay down on the couch for about 30 minutes, and I'd get up and I'd get a blanket and I'd lay down on the floor just looking anywhere for just that sweet, sweet rest. But you see, it didn't have anything to do with my heart being not right with God. It was a physical difficulty, and many of you have gone through it or are going through it. But what's even more difficult is when you can't get rest because God is prodding at your heart because something isn't right. And you're not safe when you're out of sorts with God. You're not safe. When you start walking contrary to the Word of God, you're willing to take the consequences of your actions. We need to understand that. Our actions are going to have very, very clear consequences. But our safety comes when we hide ourselves and when we're prudent about what we do and when we realize that we need to keep the precepts, the principles, the Word of God. In our Sunday school class, we looked over in Psalm 119 and we looked at the first 9 verses. And in those 9 verses, there are 8 words that are repeated over and over in the next 176 verses of that particular psalm. And over, it's talking about the Word of God. And we're safe when we're in God's Word. We're safe when we find that. In Psalm 4, verse number 8, it says, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So here we're in Hebrews 11, and in verse number 31, we're learning about faith. All of this chapter is talking about faith. Oh, by faith, they, and they'll give the illustration. Oh, by faith, she, and he'll give the illustration. And we've enumerated them, and we've looked at them, we've studied them, and we've seen the enemies in each case. And we get now down to verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab. Here we find out about safety from a lady of ill repute. But we have some enemies that are going to face us when we begin looking to God for faith for our safety. You see, it doesn't matter what part of the city you live. Some of the areas of North Charleston, there used to be a dear lady that came to church here, and she said, oh, Pastor, over the past several years, I've watched our neighborhood change drastically, and it's not the same neighborhood that once it was. Oh, and she literally lives across the street from a church, and she said, I've seen that church even change, and I've seen things take place in the parking lot and at the front yard of that church that you would never have dreamt that would take place. And it reminds me, as I've said for all these years, that you go back many years, 100 years ago maybe, and people feared the Lord. Even those who didn't know Christ as their Savior, they feared God. Oh, but 50 years later, now we're talking the mid-50s of the 1900s, and no longer did people fear the Lord as they once did, but they at least revered God. They held Him in high reverence. But anymore, to complete the rhyme, they jeer God. They make fun of Him. As she told me about the church, they would never have thought about conducting the types of business that they're conducting on the steps of the church house. They never would have done that at one time. Right. There was a time in the history of our country where people had respect for the Word of God, had a reverence for the Word of God. Oh, we went through the fear of God's Word, but then we also were at a point where we revered, we had reverence for God. But anymore, it doesn't matter. You can tell someone that you're a born-again believer. You can tell someone, listen, I'm a Christian. I thank God for my salvation. And they'll cuss you out right to your face. They won't care. They don't care whether you're, as I've talked to many, many, many people, they don't care the fact that I'm a preacher. And I'm not here to say I'm anything better than anyone else. But there was a time in our history where when someone would talk to a preacher, man, they'd take their cigarette, put it behind their back. They'd throw their beer can to the side. They certainly wouldn't throw it on the lawn of the church. But anymore, we've gone way past that. Amen. We're to the point where we're willingly looking at the consequences of a life because we've not hidden ourselves. And I blame the born-again believers. I blame the pastors of churches that will not preach the Word of God. That will water down and say, well, it's not going to be that bad and God loves you. Well, God does love you. But He also has something that He wants for you to do. We see safety, and we see it from this lady by faith. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Oh, we see safety in that verse. She was safe in what the decision that she had made. But I want to see one of the enemies. The first enemy that we will see is the enemy of reputation. We're looking at faith for safety, but there is the enemy of reputation. Rahab, the very name, stands throughout time as a woman with a horrible reputation. Always, it seems, not at every encounter of Scripture, but at most of them, it is always prefaced with the harlot, Rahab. No one names their daughter after Rahab. Mary, one of the most popular names in all of history. Mary, I want my daughter to be named Mary. Or we'll have a boy's name that maybe would resonate with the Bible. Or this or that. But Rahab, I've never met a Rahab. You may have, but I'll tell you what, it's more rare than a man named Meredith, amen? For those of you who are our guests, that's my first name. So, could have been worse. It could have been worse, yeah. But I've never met a Rahab. Why? Because the reputation. Any film, any play, Rahab is always a bad character. You see, there will always be a stigma of her reputation. But her name, the name Rahab, is found in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Matthew 1 and verse number 5, it says, "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab." It's spelled a little bit differently. One of the boys yesterday in the youth activity was asking about a name is spelled one way over in the Old Testament and a different way in the New Testament. And many times that is the case. It's still the same individual. And you can go through the genealogy back in the Old Testament and find out that this is talking about that Rahab. It says, Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and of course it goes on. All the way down through Jesus Christ. You see, the reputation of an individual, I need you to listen to this. The reputation of the individual does not lock that person into a life of shame. It doesn't lock you there. It doesn't mean that you're incapable of great faith because of a reputation. And it might be that someone here this morning has a reputation. Oh, it might not be the reputation that Rahab had. They might not give the adjective to describe your life as was Rahab's lot. But maybe there's a reputation that is not the best of reputation. It might be that you came to Christ later in life and you have a reputation amongst your friends as being a tyrant or being as a man or a woman of a filthy mouth or a filthy mind, willing to indulge in alcohol and perhaps drugs or whatever it might be. Yes, But that doesn't lock you into that life. It doesn't mean that you cannot display great faith in your life. You see, we look at some of the characters in the scripture. Jacob thought Esau wanted to kill him. Esau had the reputation of being the trickster. And of course, he played that part well. And so then Jacob thought Esau wants to kill me because of my reputation with him. Moses was known as a murderer. Why, when he went to his own brethren being raised in the household of an Egyptian, and when he saw his own brethren of the children of Israel that they were fighting and quarreling, he went to break them up, and they looked at him and they said, "What are you going to do? Kill us like you did the Egyptian man yesterday?" And he knew his reputation had been found out. And of course, he fled because of it. But yet God used him in a remarkable way. Paul in the New Testament, Saul as we meet him first, and now his name is changed to Paul. Why, the reputation that he had amongst the born-again believers was one that if you see him coming down the street, you need to run for high ground because he is up to no good. The reputation that he had to overcome. Why, even Matthew, one of the 12 that Jesus chose on purpose by hand, had a reputation. He was a tax collector. No one wanted to see him knock on their door. You see, often we're convinced that the Lord can't keep us safe because of the mistakes that we've made in the past. Well, would you let me tell you this morning that that's a false understanding? The mistakes that we've made in the past, they do not define what we're going to do in the future. Anyone at any given time can choose to change what they are and ask God for the grace to do it. Well, I could point to, and I certainly will not, I could point to individual after individual after individual in this particular auditorium that if I asked, they would have to, they would stand and they would have to give a testimony of life that was not lived for the Lord. Time after time after time. But by God's grace, and I will have to say by God's safety, those who have lived a hard, hard life are the first to see God's safety in their life, to allow them to get to the point where they are right now. Amen. Having at any time been killed. I have a good friend who is in heaven now. He died by, I forget how old, quite an elderly man. But Brother Joe, when he was a young man, he was a tyrant. Oh, he said, Brother Sears, I got into fights. When I knew him, he was a huge man. Not muscles either, I'm sorry to say, but Brother Joe, he was quite rotund. But he showed me pictures. He said, "Brother Sears, listen, when I was your age, I was skinnier than you." I said, "Man, Brother Joe, I love you, but please don't tell me that's my lot in life. Please." And we'd laugh about it. Man, he said, "I was a rough and tough character." He said, "I'd go to a fight in at the drop of a hat." But he is able to say, "Well, praise God, the Lord changed me from all of that. Everything about me, he changed." Amen. I love the testimonies of, I talk to people and they say, "Well, after I got saved," and many times it's when you're saved later in life, and I get around my friends and they say, "There's something different about you. Amen. Man, there's something, what's gone on? You don't curse like you used to. And they say, "Something has changed." Oh, praise God for that. You see, we can see the safety of God, but there's this enemy of reputation. We're convinced that the Lord can't keep us safe because of the mistakes that we've made in the past. But if we confess it to the Lord, He'll keep us safe. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin to the Lord, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In fact, if you will take your hand, go over to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. If you're familiar with the life of David, you understand that he failed God in his life, specifically with Bathsheba. A man that will go down for all of recorded time as having an adulterous affair. But yet God used him. Why did God use him? because of the decision he made in his heart. In Psalm 66, look up at verse number 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. He says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now I'm going to stop there for just a moment. There are other places that we could go to in the Bible. I don't have time. We've done a study of it before. I promise you this, as a born again believer, if you say, listen, I know Christ is my Savior. I remember the day that I got saved. Pastor Sears, I can give you a Bible reason as to why I would go to heaven when I die. If that's you this morning, I'll promise you this, if you regard iniquity in your heart, If there are areas in your heart that you know you're not right with God, but you're unwilling to confess them to Him, God turns your prayers off. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, I hope those are sobering words. I hope those are sobering words to you, to us. If I know that I have unconfessed sin in my life, and then I turn to the Lord and I say, now Lord, oh, would you bless our church? Lord, we're looking for this bus. Oh Lord, would you bless, help us have a great offering here at the end. Lord, help us to get that bus. Oh, and God's saying, it seems like someone's trying to get through to me, but I've got the volume down because there's unconfessed sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin.
Amen.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that verse isn't written to the lost individual. That verse is not written to the one who has no idea where they're going to spend eternity. That verse is written to the born-again believer, the one who's already taken care of that, the one that said, I realize that I should go to hell because of my sin. Speaking to a man yesterday at his door, I said, there is nothing whatsoever about this pastor, pointing to myself, said, there is nothing whatsoever about this pastor that is deserving of heaven. I've done nothing. In fact, quite opposite, I deserve to go to hell. And he looked at me. I said, because of my sin, there's nothing that God would say, wow, look at you, come on in. I looked at him, I said, I took a guess. I think it was a pretty safe guess. In fact, it played out that it was. I said, when you were in high school, did you run track? He said, yeah. I said, what'd you run? And he gives me some of the things that he ran. I said, did you ever win? He said, yeah. I said, what'd you do when you win? Woohoo! Oh, we're number one! I said, he was on a mile relay team, I believe it was one of them. I said, man, you and your buddies, you probably all, we're number one, we won! He goes, oh yeah, man, it was a big celebration time. I said, right, that's what we do. If I were to get to heaven on my own merit, on my own works, because I was such a good boy, God knows me well enough that I'd get up there and I would say, woohoo, look at me, look at what I did. Oh, I was a good guy down there and God saw it. God said, no, for by grace you are saved through faith and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen. Amen.
And that runs contrary. If I were to ask you this morning, if you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? And if you looked at me and you say, well, I think I'd go to heaven because I've done my best. You're bragging. You're boasting. You're trying to convince me and yourself and a holy God that you're good enough. That's bragging. See, we can't brag about anything that God has done for us. I have to look to God and say, Lord, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, I remember the day I did that. I always ask people if they use the words, oh, I'm saved, I've been born again, I'll ask them, when did that happen? When and where did that happen? Because if you truly are saved, you may not be able to give me the date, but you're going to be able to take me back. Oh, you can remember it so clearly. The day that you were, that God finally convinced you that you were on your way to hell because of your sin, but you knew that Jesus Christ died and took your place, and you said, oh, I want to be saved, and you bowed your head in humility, and you said, dear Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Oh, dear Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, and I know Jesus died for my sin. Lord, would you come into my heart? Would you be my Savior? In Jesus' name, amen. That may not not have been those exact words, but I promise you this, if you're saved, those are some of the words. That's what you need to have prayed. Otherwise, you're looking to yourself. Well, I think I'm going to go because I'm of this religion. I'm of that religion. I had a lady look at me this week and say, you mean all? And she named the religion. She said, you mean, she was a Catholic lady. Are you trying to tell me that all Catholics are going to hell? She asked me. And I said, I've not mentioned anything about Catholics or Baptists or Mormons or Muslims. What I'm saying is, if I don't care what denomination, if someone has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, God is bound by His Word. God cannot say, oh, I know I told you in the Bible that you had to trust Christ as your Savior. Oh, but I can see you did such a good job. I'm going to overlook what I wrote in the Word, and I'm going to let you in anyway. The Lord cannot do that. We've got the enemy of reputation, but I need to move on. The second thing I want you to see is the enemy of our surroundings. When you go back over, if you will, to Hebrews 11, look at verse number 31 again. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. The enemy of our surroundings. You see, faith will win where surroundings fail. Rahab was surrounded by those who didn't believe in the God of Abraham, but she had faith in his God for safety. She could see the God of Abraham. She couldn't see him visibly, but she could see his hand. She could see what God had done. She could see the hand of protection on the children of Israel that were about ready to come into her land. And she realized, I need this kind of safety. I need that kind of faith. Oh, you see, faith will kick in and faith will win when our surroundings fail. All of her surroundings were an area, an entire city that denounced the God of Abraham. An entire city that ran to false gods rather than Jehovah. An entire city that was willing to say, you come at us, you children of Israel, and we'll fight you. An entire city that fell, of course. But Rahab, oh, she was safe. You see, Joseph was surrounded by those who rejected God, but he believed in a sovereign God for safety. The entire city of Nineveh was in opposition to the Lord, but their entire city was saved because of the faith that they had in God. Adam and Eve, well listen, they lived in a perfect environment, and they still needed God's hand for safety in the Garden of Eden. Our surroundings, it's an enemy to us at times. Your surroundings will certainly influence you, but they do not have to dictate your decisions. Amen. I taught my children, we've got some young people here from Charleston Southern University. I've taught all of my children, and I wanted all of my children at least 1 year to go to a Bible college. And I've said, because I was taught this years ago, listen, the easiest place it is to backslide is in a Christian college, because you do all the things that you're supposed to do because the rule book says that you're supposed to do them. I went to a secular college. I didn't have a rule book that said that I couldn't do these things and I had to do those things. Had no kind of a rule book, but a Christian college, they need to have some rules and disciplinary actions that are espoused by Scripture. But the surrounding isn't going to make you spiritual. The surrounding of the church isn't going to make you spiritual. Well, I'm grateful that you come to church. I'm glad you're here this morning. But the surroundings can sometimes be our enemy. Sometimes we can let our enemy be our surroundings because they're so negative, but sometimes the enemy of our surroundings, oh, it's all positive, and we just kind of let everyone else carry the weight. We let everyone else around us be the spiritual ones, and we just kind of ride in on their shirt tails for spirituality rather than being the one that is spiritual. Raised in a family, perhaps, of a spiritual mom and dad, and you're just kind of riding on the coattails of the spirituality of your parents rather than saying, I need the spirituality for myself. So we see that the giant of, or the enemy of surroundings are around us. Again, let me read to you in Proverbs 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared unto the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Never use your surroundings as an excuse to have lack of faith in God for your safety. The last thing, I'm looking at the time, the last thing is the enemy of rejection. We read there in verse number 31 again, by faith Rahab, or the harlot Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, which was when she had received the spies with peace. The enemy of rejection. You see, everyone inside the walls of Jericho would have rejected Rahab for receiving the spies. They would have rejected her had they known. Oh, she hid them. But had it been known, wait a minute, Rahab, the spies, they came into her house. Rahab, is that right? Well, yes. Why? And they probably would have executed her. They would have rejected everything about her. She even faced being rejected by her own family. And she was told, listen, anyone that's within the confines of your home, you'll be safe. Can you imagine when the walls began to be breached by the enemy, by the children of Israel? Can you imagine as everyone is fleeing the city, trying to get away, and Rahab is saying, no, stay here, stay right here, stay inside the house. I wonder if there were relatives, cousins, aunts or uncles, that maybe you had been inside the safety of the home and they fled in fear. They felt that they would have been rejected if they would have stayed. And they were rejecting what the man of God had already told Rahab. Oh, I wonder if we face that same rejection. I wonder if we see as she placed her trust in her fellow citizen, or I'm sorry, she could have placed her trust in her fellow citizens. I wonder if oftentimes we place our trust in our fellow citizens rather than placing our trust on God. They would have thanked her if she would have turned the spies over to the authorities. As these spies came in and they sought refuge in her home, and she hid them in the thatched roof of her house. And then she said, they're up in the attic. No, sir, I don't know where they are. I don't know where they could be. Pointing the whole time into the attic. Oh, they would have said, wonderful, Rahab. Oh, you turned the spies over. We're going to rename you. You're no longer going to be the harlot, Rahab. Well, you're going to be the queen. Oh, but no, she didn't do that. She didn't do that. She faced rejection. She faced it head on. As did others. Joseph faced rejection. Daniel, Esther, and many others. As they did, she chose to display her faith in God rather than to be accepted by the whole. That's a real problem there. You see, rejection is one of the things that we as humans fear the most, it seems. I don't want to be rejected by my friends. So, because of peer pressure, I'll just go ahead and act like them. Rather than taking a stand on the Word of God. Rather than taking a stand as a born-again believer and say, no. I know what I believe. And I'm not going to be persuaded against it. I'm not going to bow down to whatever the idol might be of the day. I'm going to stand clearly on the Word of God. And because of it, God gives us safety. I would love to go around the room. I've said so many times, I believe that God every now and then just kind of pulls the veil back on safety and lets you see, just lets you see a little glimpse of how He's keeping you safe. I've given you some of the accounts of what would have happened in my life, some of the dumb things as my brother lit the entire 500 gallons tank of gasoline, the hose is on fire, and we run down there throwing dirt on it, trying to put it out rather than running and getting far away as we could. I can imagine the Lord's up there saying, please, would one of you guys get down there and put that fire out? Because those knuckleheads are going to kill themselves. And I want to use them. Oh, I can imagine. I've watched God. Not every time. See, here's what I wonder at times. I wonder if God has kept us safe and we have absolutely no idea.
In fact, I don't have to wonder very hard because I know He does.
Yes, amen.
I know He does. Boy, we could have the horse prepared against the day of battle. The safety is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Do you have faith for safety this morning? Do you have faith? Listen, the safety, if I'm talking about safety, I couldn't be any more blunt. The safety of heaven as opposed to the consequence of hell. Safety is of the Lord. Oh, you can have all of your ducks in a row. They can be walking in a nice, perfect line, but safety is of the Lord when it comes to heaven and hell. You could say, oh, I've done everything. I've tried my hardest. I've lived a good life. I go to church so many times. Well, I've been baptized so many times, my skin turned blue. No, none of those things are going to get you to heaven. Listen, I'm a Baptist, but being baptized isn't going to get anyone to heaven. Being born again. This morning, where would you spend eternity if you died today? Would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? Jesus Christ did not die on the cross so that we could play a guessing game. God said, I want you to know. This morning, if you say, I have no idea, I'm going to ask you, would you allow someone to show you from Scripture how you can be born again? It's not a complicated process. You don't have to come for several weeks before you finally get it all down. No, it's simply faith saying, I'm going to reject all that I once thought was going to get me to heaven, and I'm going to receive the Savior of the world. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. Oh, would you do that this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps that's you this morning. Please, would you listen to me? No one is looking around. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're the one that the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to. Maybe you're the one that needs to make the decision to trust Christ as their Savior. Maybe you've heard it time and time and time again, but you've continued to reject it. Could I ask you this morning, would you trust Christ? Would you decide today, I can't live with this thought any longer. I can't live with the indecision any longer. I need to know where I'm going to spend eternity. The preacher tells me that Bible gives me the answer. I need to find out. Is that you this morning? Anywhere in the scripture? In the auditorium? Would you slip your hand up? Oh, even right now, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor Sears, I don't know where I would go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. Oh, please, please don't be so nervous about it. You're surrounded by people that would love to tell you how to go to heaven. Is that you? Even one this morning. I don't know, but I need to find out. I need to know. This morning, perhaps you're the one that needs the safety. You've tried everything in the world to get yourself safe. Oh, you've tried this and you've tried that and you've tried all the money and you've tried all of the programs, but you realize now that safety is of the Lord. But there's going to take faith. It will take great faith. And are you willing to say, I'll place my faith for safety? I'll place my faith in the God that gives all the safety in the world. Maybe that's you this morning. Would you slip your hand up this morning and say, well, Pastor, the Bible has spoken to me this morning. I've tried to keep myself safe. Well, I thank the Lord. Is there some others? Thank the Lord for that. Lord, you've seen this morning. You've seen the hearts of everyone here. I pray that you would help us to have faith in you. Lord, I pray that we would see that we must have faith in you. Lord, you'll give us the safety that we desire. Bless this time. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you